Hi everyone, and welcome to A Good Good Thing. I hope you're having a good week full of great things, and if you're not, well, you're in luck. Because from here on in, Jack, what is this?
This is a good vibes only space.
It's like super great, so great, so great, yeah.
Jack, how are you?
I'm good. I'm still in quarantine. I'm saying this because obviously everyone who's listening now know that everyone is still in quarantine. But when people look back in 100 years, they need the context of this being a quarantine-created podcast.
Yeah, this is my week... Wait, what week is it? This is week five. I've officially been in lockdown for 5 weeks. So for 5 weeks, I've spent 98% of my time in my flat, and I've left for... a 40-minute walk of a day, and every few days, maybe a trip to the Sainsbury's sausages, to the shops quickly.
I want to ask you how that's doing, but more importantly, I want to ask what's in my brain, which is, do you think time's gone really slowly?
Do you know what? First 3 weeks, maybe almost the first month, so fast. It was going really quickly, and I couldn't believe it. And then I think the long bank holiday weekend mucked it up. And it all just feels quite long at the moment. Mm. But yeah, no, the first few weeks, it was flying by.
See, okay, that's the opposite. I felt like I've had so much time in the day. And I don't even normally commute very far to go to university. I feel like, yeah, just like I've had more time to think about things in a very slow manner.
But I suppose you own your own time a lot more than most.
Mm.
Because you're not in classes all day, every day.
That's true. But then you'd think there'd be less of a difference, right?
Yeah, maybe. Well, no, but I mean, as in like, that's why I think mine goes really quickly. Whereas yours is like, you've got your classes as your beats of the week.
You know, what I mean is my situation is less changed than most people's. And therefore, you'd assume I wouldn't feel as much of a difference.
Yeah, that's true.
But we're not here to talk about me.
No, we're not. We are here to talk about positivity in a pandemic, part one.
Ooh, all the P's.
I might put in some dramatic music or sound effects then. But yes, so yeah, this is, you know, as we discussed in our last episode with the amazing Pooj from didthehelp.com, we wanted to start collecting some of our favorite positive stories of amazing things, acts from people and businesses around the crazy COVID-19 crisis that is affecting everyone. So yeah, today we're going to look at some of our favorites from the week. Jack, are you ready?
I am ready. I'm very excited to hear these stories.
Good. Okay. So I think for me, one of the biggest things that's come out of this, is an overwhelming sense of unity. And I think that's like in about every way that you can imagine, with communities coming together to help those most in need. You know, the easiest example of this is the government putting out a call to arms of volunteers to help deliver much needed aid. And I think like the original ask was 250,000 people. And within 24 hours, 500,000 had already volunteered to help. And that number kept growing over the next few days. And I think it ended up around 750,000 volunteers. I am one of them. And these volunteers, volunteers are basically going to be vital in getting vulnerable people medicines, food, and also just providing contact services for those at risk of isolation. Did you sign up?
I did not because I am hateful. But more importantly, I was in Japan at the time and I didn't think I was coming back. And then I had to come back.
Fair. Okay. Well, I will say you can still sign up. That option is still there because obviously, you know, all of those people aren't always available. So the more they have, the more chances that there's never going to be someone with a call unanswered. And what's great is that you don't have to be mobile. You don't have to have a car. As I mentioned, there are these kind of chat contact services. So you can basically be there to speak to someone that, you know, has worries, is feeling at risk, was feeling lonely. It's really, really easy to do. You basically, there's an organization called Good Sam. and you just download the Good Sam app. You can register online and you kind of put in all your like details. They have to verify your identity. But once that's all through, you download the app, log in, and basically you switch the toggle to being on duty or off duty. And if you're on duty, like a local alert will sound off on your phone if someone's put out the alert, and it will come in with the information saying that this person is having these problems. Here is their contact details. And then you'll say, you know, that you're taking the call, or you're taking the request, and or you can decline it if you can't, if for whatever reason, or if you feel like you've seen it but you're not qualified to answer it, you can pass it on to the next person. Otherwise, yeah, take the details and then you contact them. So it's really super easy. It's and actually at the same time, I've had it and I've had it for a few days now, and I still haven't actually had a call or had to help anyone yet. But it is on. I actually should check if it is still on, because I shouldn't have it on when I'm at work, because I won't be able to do anything. But yeah, so it's really super flexible. And so the more people that they have it, the more chance that it's always covered.
So it's kind of like bone marrow donation. You get to feel good about yourself, and most of the time you don't even have to do anything.
That's really true, but not the point. But yes, everyone also should donate. Everyone should also sign up for bone marrow donation. Do that as well. When we're able to and get back out and do kits. But yeah, so I think that's the easiest one to start with, is just how everyone has been coming up to help from a volunteering standpoint. What else have we got? I think we've also got lots of brands who've been switching up all of their manufacturing lines to help fight COVID. I think you've got things like Givenchy and Dior perfumers making hand sanitizers. You've got Zara is making masks and gowns. BrewDog is making hand sanitizers. And then you've got like car companies and vacuum companies making ventilators, much needed ventilators for hospitals. And all of these brands are creating them and donating them for free to help local communities and hospitals, which is, you know, is just brilliant. And it's kind of odd to be like, you know, my hand sanitizer's Dior. Where's yours from? Like some premium stuff.
It's nice that hand sanitizer has finally got into the premium fashion market.
But maybe this will be it going forward. Like, we're all forever changed now in terms of our understanding of germs, and we're never going to look at someone with a common cold on the tube again in the same way. So maybe actually it will just become a case of having tiered hand sanitizers. Well, they're always going to default to Dettol, aren't you? Like, go for the classics.
I would totally be happy with, you know, like branded face masks. Like, I think the face mask space is ripe for stylish innovations.
I completely agree. I genuinely want the face mask thing to stay with us, especially in the winter during flu season, because if everyone is wearing them, the chances of spreading are reduced. Like, and I just think it should just be the norm. I think it's definitely something that we should be taking from other cultures.
It's, you know, I read something very interesting, which is if you wear a mask, just a normal surgical mask, you reduce your chance of catching some kind of air. And these studies are all really all over the place, like loads of different results. But on average, it seems like if you wear a surgical mask, you reduce your chance of catching something by 20%. But also, if you have something, it reduces your chance of transmitting it by like 90%. And therefore, if everyone is wearing a mask, the person transmitting reduces their chance of transmitting by 90%. You reduce your chance of catching by 20%. And that means instead of it being 100% chance of possible transmission, it's down to like a 2% chance because everyone's wearing masks. And it's like, yeah. It's just maths. It's just maths. Yeah.
And then add in hand sanitizers and washing hands regularly, and it would just make such a dramatic impact, I think.
Have you seen that great video on the internet where someone's on the train and they're wearing a mask? And, you know, he looks like a mid-20s smart kind of guy. And he's wearing a mask, and then he pulls it down, puts lip balm on his lips, and then he looks at his finger and he's got like a balmy finger, and he just wipes it on the train, like holding post in front of him to get the balm off his fingers. And then he pulls his mask back up. And it's like, wow. That is the opposite of why people wear masks.
Some people just need a moment to think, don't they?
We're going to have to learn mask etiquette.
Yeah, it's true. It's very true. But yes, so that's one amazing way which some brands are helping. Other brands that don't have these manufacturing lines are also getting involved. This is from gyms and fitness brands running live training and exercise workouts to brands like Pret and Wagamama, who are also doing live cooking tutorials or posting that how to cook some of your favorite restaurant dishes, which is actually brilliant. I've got probably about five things from Pret that I'm desperate to make. And then Wagamama even showed you how to make gyoza, and I was like, I'm never going to be able to achieve that. But very cool. Someone make me some. But no, I want to try the really simple Pret porridge because it is my favorite thing in the world. And then I'm probably going to do what every other person on Instagram has done and do the Pret banana bread at some point.
And you know what? My mum was like, have you made banana bread yet? And I was like, what? And she was like, ah, oh, you're not on top of the latest viral sensations.
Wow. And if your mum's telling you.
Banana bread's got to my mum way before it even got to me.
Outstanding. Yeah, if it's coming to her first, then you need to catch up.
Neil, if I wanted to go to a website that had a list of all like the positive things that these companies were doing in this pandemic, where do you think I should go?
You should go to me because I know it all.
Okay, so not say maybe like, I mean, I was using that so you would say didthayhelp.com and then I could plug last week.
We had a whole episode about the website. I'm not giving you a second plug.
I was going to plug our podcast from last week, but you doomed us now, that whole segment. Fine.
Yes, if you are looking for the brands that are helping, you can go to didthayhelp.com, this amazing website that is an aggregator of all the things that people, brands, and organizations are doing. And if you want to learn more about didthayhelp.com, listen to last week's episode.
Oh, thanks, Neil. I will. Can you imagine us listening to the podcast back to, I mean, yeah. One, us re-listening to our podcast, but two, listening to something from last week to find out information that we've forgotten.
Because we've forgotten, yeah, pretty much. Anyway, we're digressing. I have more. There's more unity. Another great one. Probably should have talked about this during the volunteer section, which is all of the thousands of doctors and nurses that have come out of retirement to help battle with COVID. Which is just incredible, especially obviously because of the, you know, average age of people in retirement. For them to come and put themselves back on the front line is one hell of a risk. And so I think that is one thing that must be applauded, which segue is happening weekly in the UK, Thursdays, 8 p.m. Be there. And that is our weekly national claps in thanks to the NHS frontline key workers. Which is genuinely a highlight of my week. Everyone in the area that I live goes for it. There is pots, there is pans, they're smashing against other pots and pans and wooden spoons. One of the local houses put a huge sound system outside and was playing like We Are the World. And they played the entire thing. And it was brilliant. And then one week, which I shouldn't really say out loud, someone had managed to get hold of some fireworks and were just setting them off out their window. And it was quite magical. I was a bit upset they weren't blue, but, you know, beggars can't be choosers.
Do they even have blue fireworks?
Yeah, of course they do.
I don't think I've seen any. But more importantly, I really like the clapping, but also I feel very weird about it. Like, because I'm always like, I have no concept of time right now, right? Time doesn't exist. My phone doesn't exist. Like, days just go from sunrise to sunset. So on Thursdays, which I don't even know are Thursdays, at some time, which I know cognitively is 8 o'clock, but I don't know what the time is at the time, people start going crazy outside my window. And then I feel like really conflicted because I'm like, well, I want to go out and show support, but I want to go out and show support because I want to show support, not because it's socially expected of me. And everyone's going to go, look at those gits no longer coming out to the balcony to clap. I feel awkward.
You feel awkward when you're like, is it, can I go in now? Should I go in? Like, is it still going? And you're like, you'd want to be the first to go in. Last Thursday I did it from my window rather than going down and out the apartment block, which made it a little bit easier.
We're all on our balconies here and it's nice to see your neighbors. Like, normally you're like, who are these strangers that live in these?
Probably the first time you've seen half of them.
Yeah, it is, right? And you actually get to see what they look like a bit, because normally it's like kind of, who's that? Like, mysterious blur, because let's face it, everyone's trying to pretend their neighbors opposite don't exist, so you're not just prying into their whole lives. But here you're kind of like, you're supposed to be looking around and acknowledging the existence of others. Very novel.
It is indeed. I think the last thing I had with this amazing sense of unity, which is kind of what brought it all together, which is of course the matriarch of our country, the Queen, who gave a rare national broadcast to discuss the pandemic and to celebrate the country's coming together in retaliation to it.
Together we are tackling this disease, and I want to reassure you that if we remain united and resolute, then we will overcome it. I hope in the years to come, everyone will be able to take pride in how they responded to this challenge. And those who come after us will say the Britons of this generation were as strong as any. The pride in who we are is not a part of our past. It defines our present and our future. We will succeed, and that success will belong to every one of us. We should take comfort that while we may have more still to endure, better days will return. We will be with our friends again. We will be with our families again. We will meet again.
I love that she, near the end, quoted the Vera Lynn song, We Will Meet Again.
Yeah.
The war song. Yeah, yeah, the war song. Yeah, I just thought that was a great kind of tug at the old guard and heartstrings, which was really, really nice. It's funny because part of me is like, you want her to even like emote more, but at the same time, there's something so steadfast and calming about her voice. I think it's just because she reminds me of my nan so much, because I think she reminds everyone of their nan. but yeah, I loved it, and I think it was very much a kind of watershed moment. It's kind of like, oh, you know, it's serious. They're wheeling out the Queen.
Now I feel bad. I didn't watch it.
I properly like interrupted socializing digitally, obviously, to be like, I need to be right back. I've got to go and watch Liz. And then got back to my quiz
in tears.
But no, I think it was a really great kind of coming together and summarizing of all of the amazing things that people were doing.
Well, that's nice. You know what? You've encouraged me to listen to the entire 4 minutes, 12 seconds.
Good. So we know that this can get really contentious because, as we discussed last week, there's been some amazing actions taken by celebrities, and then there's been others that have been kind of widespread, critiqued and panned, wrongly or rightly, I suppose, is up to your own opinion, but, you know, for just kind of not being quite on the mark and being potentially a little bit tone deaf.
Yeah, what you're talking about there specifically that seems to be getting the most hate everywhere is the Gal Gadot Imagine sing along that went on the internet, which also I still haven't listened to.
That was definitely one of the first ones, but there has been more since, through people making, you know, poking fun at Corona, trying to be lighthearted, but kind of missing the mark, to other celebs just going live on Instagram and getting it all very wrong. But we're here to talk about the positive stories that are coming out of it that cannot be denied by anyone. And first up, it's about big donors.
I thought you said big donuts, and I was very excited, but donors are important too.
Maybe that's something that will come in later, but this is big donors. I'm not going to list all of them because it will take a while, but there's been multi-million dollar donations that have been made by the likes of Dolly Parton, Ellen DeGeneres, George and Amal Clooney, Angelina Jolie, Blake Lively and Ryan Reynolds, Roger Federer, and loads more, all to various organizations in the battle against coronavirus.
Rihanna, just want to put her out there. I've seen her name come up like a billion times.
And that's where I'm going to next. So Rihanna gets her own mention because you've then got the likes of her.
Well, now I feel guilty. I feel like I've stolen your Rihanna thunder.
Oh. No. It was good. It meant that you actually had paid attention to something in the news, which was good. So yeah, Rihanna's set up multi-million dollar funds herself to help fight coronavirus, from helping local hospitals to setting up shelters for helping support shelters for women in domestically dangerous relationships, and also to help in stopping people from going hungry during the pandemic. And then on par with that, you've got, I don't know if you've seen this one, the band U2 have donated or have set up a 10 million euro fund to provide PPE equipment for the frontline workers in Ireland.
Wow.
So yeah, I think, you know, I think as much as obviously there are celebrities that have gone out there and done their bit that's for entertainment, which I think, you know, is totally valid. And at the end of the day, if that gives someone like 20 minutes, half an hour, hour respite and entertainment, where they get to see like their celebrity and their natural habitat or whatever, I just think that's great. And I think it's just, it's all about conversation, communication, and keeping in contact. So it's all thumbs up from me for that.
That's true. And I'm just amazed that I've heard of you too for the first time in like a decade.
Do you know what? I genuinely thought the same thing when I read it. I was like, wow, they're still there. In my head, I was like, do they mean Bono? But no, they mean the whole lot. Yeah.
The fact that you said the band U2 means that like you were kind of worried that people would have forgotten who U2 were.
So I had to classify that they're a band. Yeah, true. It's true. But yeah, so those are my celeb nuggets. But Jack, I have a question for you.
Yes.
What do Germany, Australia, Taiwan, Iceland, Finland, and Denmark have in common?
They all have international association soccer teams.
Anything else?
I mean, related to this, I can't think of anything.
Okay, so it is that all of these countries are led by women. And not only are they led by women, these are also the countries appearing in the top of the list of countries that are actively, proactively, and successfully fighting back the virus and the pandemic as a whole. And so the point here isn't to say that, you know, women are better at handling a global pandemic, but I think the point that's being made by a lot of economists and reporters is that actually just women leaders tend to have to be better at their jobs overall to have even made it to that position in the first place. And so, for example, in Taiwan, which is really close to China, acted so quickly under, I'm going to say it wrong, Tsai Ing-wen, that the country, as of April 11th, only had just under 400 confirmed cases. Mm-hmm. And in Germany, under Angela Merkel, while they've been hit hard by cases, the mortality rate is one of the lowest due to a really quick response and widespread testing. And then in New Zealand, direct, consistent and transparent communication from Jacinda Ardern has meant that the population has onboarded the restrictions a lot quicker and more comprehensively than a lot of other countries that felt like they were missing information. She's been doing like these brilliant Facebook lives, and she holds continuing press conferences. And actually, I've got a great clip that I want to show you, which is her press conference just before Easter, where she reassured kids that the Tooth Fairy and Easter Bunny are essential workers, but may just be a little busy and delayed with their own families at home.
So I feel good about myself, which is another thing mm-hmm. to thank the Prime Minister of New Zealand for.
You'll be pleased to know that we do consider both the Tooth Fairy and the Easter Bunny to be essential workers. But as you can imagine at this time, of course, they're going to be potentially quite busy at home with their family as well and their own bunnies. And so I say to the children of New Zealand, if the Easter Bunny doesn't make it to your household, then we have to understand that it's a bit difficult at the moment for the bunny to perhaps get everywhere. But I have a bit of an idea that maybe in lieu of the bunny being able to make it to your home, you can create your own Easter hunt for all the children in your neighbourhood. So if you're one of those homes that's had a teddy in your front window, maybe draw an Easter egg and pop it into your front window and help children in your neighbourhood with their own Easter egg hunt, because the Easter bunny might not get everywhere this year.
Jack, I have one more story for you for this week to wrap things up. And it's one that I'm sure you are already aware of. But this is the story of Captain Tom Moore. So Captain Moore is a 99-year-old World War II veteran who decided that he was going to walk 100 laps of his garden before his 100th birthday in order to raise the princely sum of £1,000 for NHS charities. Well, it is safe to say that he smashed his target. This story spread like wildfire, and so did his fundraising. And as he reached the finish line, not only had he become a social media star, more than 900,000 people had donated. And as he crossed the finishing line, the total stood at £12 million. And it is still growing. I think as we're recording this, we're over 24. I should have double checked again, but it's definitely over 24 million now, which is nuts. And Captain Moore has actually said that he will keep walking as if people keep donating. So it's kind of nuts to know where we think this is going to end. It's had unbelievable global reach, and he's just received messages from like thousands upon thousands of people and celebrities and even the royals.
That is a lot of dough.
It's nuts, right? Especially considering all of the, you know, like people's questioning about like business ethics and what companies are doing, and it's just kind of this really amazing, selfless, singular person that actually did something that has galvanized a lot of people. And it's just another example of like, it's another way that has not only obviously done good in the money it's raised, but it's just a further thing that is shedding light on the story, because there'll be people that maybe haven't paid that much attention to the news and coronavirus that caught this story, thought it was interesting and has listened to it or watched videos on it, and have then learnt more about the virus that has been wrapped into telling of his story. So I think it's just brilliant.
Yeah, I think this story is a really interesting one, because on the one hand, it's amazing that this guy has done something which, one, has raised loads of money, and two, has caught the imagination of so many people everywhere. But I think the other really interesting thing this is pointing out is that there's at least a funding gap of like £20 million, and obviously we know it's more than that, but that people want to put into the NHS, right? These are people who have seen the donations and they've gone, I want to put more of my own money into the NHS to do this. And that, I think, is also hopefully a very powerful sign to this government and future governments that the people in the UK demand that the NHS is adequately funded and that healthcare is a universal human right, and we need to continue doing that. And there's like the pride that British people have in its health service. I think this story reflects that, and I think it's an important message which goes out to the government and future governments. So there's that side to it too.
I completely agree, and I think you nailed it when you said like it's the national pride that we have in the NHS. I think that's such a good point, and it is something that's just not really going to be able to be ignored now with like what the government has had to do. Like, and a government that isn't usually known for this type of response, the help it's had to provide and will have to continue to provide hopefully means that this is going to be higher up the agenda going forward. That's your lot for this episode. We're out of positive stories. There are loads more, and it's really important that you share them with us as well, because we want to see as many as we can. So do share them with us on our social media channels at A Good Good Thing. Because obviously there's plenty to go around, and we'll share even more out that may not make it into the episode. But obviously we can't keep you here forever as much as we would like. But we hope you and your loved ones are keeping well. Remember to stay at home, and if you can't, make sure that you stay safe. We're going to leave you with the words of our dear Captain Tom Moore, and remember that tomorrow will be a good day.
I think you're all being very, very good, and I think you're also being brave and allowing me to be hemmed up in such a small space of time for so long. I'm good for you. I think you've all got to remember that we will get through it in the end. It will all be right, but it might take time. But at the end of the day, we shall be all okay again. And all those people who are finding it difficult at the moment, the sun will shine on you again and the clouds will go away.